Talktainment Radio, worldwide sound. Talktainmentradio.com. We give you a reason to come. The world's greatest radio. We give you a reason to stay.
Radio, the way it should be heard.
You got the power.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the host and guest and not necessarily those of TalktainmentRadio.com, the management, the staff, or K&E World Network, LLC.
Live call-in talk show, dial 1-877-932-9766 and join the conversation here on TalktainmentRadio.com.
This is The Compensatory Concept with Mr. Neely Fuller, heard exclusively on TalktainmentRadio.com, the world's greatest radio. Radio, the way it should be heard. And now, Mr. Neely Fuller.
If you do not understand white supremacy, which is racism, what it is and how it works, everything else that you understand will only confuse you. Only confuse you. Only
Welcome to the second hour of The Compensatory Concept with Mr. Neely Fuller, Jr. I am your co-host, Mr. Bobby, and this is Radio, the way it should be heard. Now, our topic today is why, in answering the questions. One must always ask why, as Mr. Fuller has stated, and this is what this program is about. Now, to get in contact with the show, do this. You can call in, as we have a caller now, at 1-877-932-9766. You can also go to the TalktainmentRadio.com homepage, and you'll see a big sign that says Listen Live. Yeah, do that, and this program will come up. It also airs again at 10 p.m. Tonight. You'll also see a donate button there, which we will get into a little bit later. You can do that. You can also go to the YouTube channel to watch us and hear us. Just type in the word YouTube, and then you'll see where a space for us to put in Talktainment. Type that in, scroll down to where it says where you can put in radio, and then another scroll, and then you'll see type in Talktainment number 2, and you're there. You can hit the like and share button, and you can see us at the graphics that come up and such forth. And also you can do this. Go to facebook.com/Talktainment. You can do that. We try to make it convenient for you to get this program. The second hour, this is the donate hour, and we need your donations, because if they don't pick up, then there will be no more second hour. We'll get the first hour in. That's on Talktainment. But it's the second hour, so you really need to pick that up. If you call in and you're able to, that call is free for you. We pay for that. But something has to be done so we can offset the expense of putting this program together. So this is not for pay for me or Mr. Fuller. No. It's for the continuation of the second hour. Okay, with that being said, why is what we're talking about, and let's go to the phone lines. Okay, caller, you are now on with Mr. Fuller. What is your question?
Good morning, Mr. Bobby, Mr. Fuller. My name is Joe from Harlem. Joe Carter.
Yeah, Joe.
I don't have a question. I have a statement. As far as China is concerned, people fail to remember that Russia is China's big brother. And every third world, so-called third world country has a big brother. And usually that big brother is usually white. So it classifies white, rather. So that's something that we need to remember and not to forget. So that's really all I have to say.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Joe. There's been a lot of talk about that, you know, China. And like I said, I read an article last night or this morning about China donating or giving, no, not donating, but giving $60 billion to Africa. Didn't say what country, but Africa. You know, I don't know what that means, but, you know, I could use a billion myself, you know, but nobody has offered to give me that. But I don't know why. There's something, as my friend Fred used to say, that there's something funky in Denmark. Something is just not right about that. And one of our callers in the first hour called in and addressed that situation about, you know, what they've done, and especially in Zambia, what the Chinese did. So this is not the first. Okay, Mr. Fuller, going to the Gmails, let's do this. This brother from Canada wrote this. Mr. Fuller, he says, I think I know what the answer is going to be, but I'm going to read his question. He said, what did Dr. Martin Luther King mean when he says, I'm paraphrasing when he said, if the Negro is to be free, he must move down into his inner resources of his own soul and sign with a pen in ink of his own self-asserted manhood, his emancipation and proclamation. My VGQ is, why must I suffer so?
My answer is, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Part of the code is, I don't speak for someone else. Dr. King spoke very eloquently for himself. So everybody who studies Dr. King should interpret on their own what he meant by whatever he said. And that's the best way to go with that. What happens when a lot of people are dead is that people start interpreting on their own what the person who was here said when they were here, and which is what they should do as individuals. But asking someone else to interpret somebody else's work, that is something that the code does not advocate. So I can't go along with you know, being a party to that, making any comments about what Dr. King meant. He meant whatever he said, and whatever interpretation he put on it, that's the interpretation that I will say is the valid interpretation. And if it was some confusion there, well, then you have just that, confusion. But
yes.
I won't touch it.
Yeah, Doctor.
I will not speak for anybody who's not Malcolm X, Dr. King, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, Marcus Garvey, anybody who has gone before who's not here.
Yes, sir.
Dr. Francis Wilson. No,
yes, sir.
I will not speak for any of these people. That's why I'm saying everybody should try to speak as much as they can for themselves while they are here and clear up any misunderstanding. All
yes.
right?
All righty.
Even when I come on this program, the one thing I grade myself on is not whether somebody believes what I'm saying or not. I grade myself on whether I'm clear and whether I'm focused.
Yes, sir.
So it's one thing I do not want to do is add to the confusion.
Okay. We've been talking about movies, your list of movies, and certainly there are others, movies out there that people know about that are good movies where you can glean something of that. My brother in what is called French, I think it was French Guiana, Brother Mirtho, if I am pronouncing it properly, indicated that there's a movie called Miss Sloan. And I did, Brother Mirtho, and since you are listening because you just sent me an email over Gmail, I did see parts of that movie. It's 2 hours and 12 minutes, and, you know, I can glean some things off of that. But he also sent this, Mr. Fuller, a book called Bury My Heart.
In Wounded Knee?
I'm not sure what it is because it cut off right there.
I think it is by D. Brown.
I'm getting an affirmative, yeah. I'm getting an affirmative from the people here and also you. Yeah, he mentioned that.
Bury My Heart at Wounded Knee by D. Brown. That's D-E-E Brown.
Yeah, okay.
I think that's the title of the book.
Okay.
Came out some years ago.
Okay.
I had a copy of it, and I misplaced it. I never got around to reading it, but I understand that it is a book.
Yes, yes.
A lot of people can get a lot out of.
Mm-hmm. All righty. All righty. Let's do this. 1-877-932-9766 is the number that you can call to get in contact with the show. Don't forget, because I'm going to push this hard this hour, donations. For the second hour, we really need those donations. You might get tired of hearing it, but we want to keep the program going. The second hour, we want to keep it going. So make sure you donate. 1-877-932-9766. Okay, here's a question. Mr. Fuller, my question to you is this. Why are almost all movies on your must-see movie list outside The Shawshank Redemption 50 years older, old or older? Are there any films with messages for us, according to you, that came out in the past few years, even the past 20 years. I asked because I know there are several. I heard you mention how you have a long list of movies that people have suggested you see, such as The Matrix, Get Out, Black Panther. Also, I think one movie people should see, if they haven't already, it's a classic called The Marathon Man. What I took away from that film is how all roads, even when you think you are escaping white supremacy, how all roads lead back to the white supremacist. Mr. Fuller, I will wait for your response. Thank you.
Oh, there will be many movies being made right now that probably I need to see. I'll never get around to seeing them. And in the last few years, I haven't gotten around to seeing a whole ocean of movies that have been made that probably have very, 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 and I've heard that they have very, very strong messages.
Yes, sir.
I mean, that you can learn a lot from. But the list of the movies that I have are mostly about white people. I mean, if you look at them, they are old, old movies. I mean, and most of the movies, you don't see a black person even in the background, okay, in any scene, anywhere, okay? But I say that I've always said that you study, you know, the white supremacists and how they go about doing things more than you do black people, because there's more to learn. Okay, but if there are movies that show interactions between black and white,
mm-hmm.
and those are movies that I definitely would say that any movie that would show interactions between white and non-white is very important to see.
Mm-hmm.
If the movie has any validity at all,
yes, sir.
And any truth in it. And if it doesn't have truth in it, you'll see that too. You'll learn that. I mean, you'll learn when a movie is steering people in the incorrect direction. And you should look for that in all movies, really.
Okay.
Whether or not you are being steered by looking at that movie in an incorrect direction. And most movies, a lot of movies that are recommended and highly touted,
yes,
that include black people, usually, in many cases, I won't say in all or even in most, but in some cases, some of these movies look like they're designed to help black people to think about things that are constructive value when there's no constructive value in them at all.
Yes. Okay. All righty. Let's do this. Let me see. Okay, yeah, let's do this. I'm going to take this call, and then we'll do what we have to do. Okay, caller, now listen. You are on with Mr. Fuller. Go ahead with your question.
Yes. Mr. Fuller, greetings. Two questions, sir. One, If you had your druthers, how would you organize this particular radio program that you're on today? What would you change about the flow of this program? And, you know, is there something more you'd like to see, something less you'd like to see? How would you organize this particular program?
I don't know, because I am not an organizer. I just make suggestions about what I think would be an improvement, and I don't know anything about broadcasting or anything like that. All the technicalities involved, and there's a lot of it involved, I understand. Lots of things that have to be watched, mostly time and money. I understand that any kind of broadcasting, time is a huge factor. Money is a huge factor. So I'm not competent enough to speak intelligently on something that would be an improvement. But the code says that anybody who has a suggestion about something that would be an improvement and taking into consideration
mm-hmm.
the time factor and the money factor, well, that's a part of the code. You make suggestions.
Mm-hmm.
See, because it's all about what? That one word that I say it's one word, should be one word, constructive problem solving. That should be one word that I started off the first hour saying that is, should be in every black person's mind, every non-white person's mind on the planet, and every white person's mind. I say that, in the, you know, eventually, if they get off of this white supremacy hobby horse, I mean, you know, and think about constructive problem solving for a change. See, they solve a lot of problems, but they make so many other problems, you know, as a result.
Yes.
And so a part of the code is solve problems without making any. And so that would include your suggestions, see, broadcasting. How would we solve, if there are some problems with the way the program is being conducted, what would be an improvement, and what would it, would there be any problems that would be made as a result of the so-called improvement?
Yes.
All right?
Yeah.
But you don't want to solve a problem by making other problems.
That's exactly right. Let me interject just before you ask your second question. If, to the caller or in listeners, if you knew all that was involved in radio, in the production of the program, let alone TV, most of you would not do it. You just would not do it because it is complicated. Now, sometimes we make it seem simple, but it is really, it really isn't. You just have to, either you have it or you don't. At the same time, we're still learning because we make mistakes, i.e., Mr. Fuller and I do not rehearse this show. We don't. We just let it flow as it is, mistakes and all, because we are still learning. So you have to keep that in mind. Go ahead, ma'am, with your second question.
The second one, I will have to get back with you. I'm going to think about the responses to my first.
Okay. All right. Thank you for calling so much. Yeah, a lot of people think, you know, and that they can just do this. It really isn't. And I've had friends and asked them to call in, and they are afraid to call in. Because, and I ask him why. He said, because it's radio. I might say the wrong thing. Well, so what? I say the wrong thing and make countless mistakes all the time. And I'm always trying to improve. But I still do it because I love radio and I love to do it. And I feel that this, that what Mr. Fuller has allowed me to be a part of in getting the word out, you know, mistakes and all, we try to do it. Anyway, that's what we do. Listen, TalkTainmentRadio.com. is a 24/7, no charge, worldwide broadcasting facility with hosts delivering on various topics such as news, lifestyle, sports, law, health, wellness, religion, and politics. Now, here's one that I'm going to share with you, and I had the opportunity last Thursday, as we had a radiothon, to speak with some of the programs. Show host that came on, and one of the shows is the Your Time to Travel, and I got to talk. Well, Mr. Tyus wasn't there, but his co-host was there, and she explained just how important that show is with news about traveling to different places, the updates, all the things that are involved in that program, Your Time to Travel. Now, listen, if you are going to travel somewhere, you might want to get in contact with them and get the latest information. Now, that show is exclusive to TalkTainmentRadio.com. That is radio the way it should be heard. My name is Mr. Bobby, and I am the co-host on the Compensatory Concept with Mr. Nearly Fuller Jr., and our subject today is why. You've heard Mr. Fuller ask it. One should always ask why. Why should you ask why? Ask Mr. Fuller that. Right now, we are going to take a call. Go ahead, caller. You were able to get in. What is your question for Mr. Fuller?
Hello, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
How you doing, Nearly Fuller? It's a great honor to talk to you. Me and my mom and my brother, actually, we discovered you from YouTube, you know, just looking up positive programs and stuff like that, and you've been a big help. I just want to start off by saying that.
Thank you.
No problem. One of my questions is, you say a lot of times that there's white people and non-white people, and I wanted to ask you this. A lot of, from what I've noticed from my studies, and just from day-to-day worldly viewings and interaction, the other so-called races are ahead of black people, and they don't treat black people too well. For example, races like the Asians, Arabs, you know, on in our own communities and stuff like that. You know, it's not good a lot of times. I don't want to say all of them, but I've seen a lot of bad interactions between black, Arab, Asian, Indian, whatever. So I'm just a little bit confused if you can clarify about non-white and white and where those other races factor into that.
Okay, Mr. Fuller?
In the system of white supremacy, that's to be expected. I can't say that enough. All non-white people go at each other. I mean, even the groups that you're naming, they go at each other. I mean, they do very destructive things to each other. It's all about destruction. If you're non-white, you're supposed to be about destruction. And you see anybody with color in their skin, that's something that you try to destroy. Among black people ourselves, we know that better than anybody. We destroy each other and look forward to it. Roam the streets looking forward to it. I mean, that's on our agenda. That is the top of that thing. That's the big thing that we think about. How can I do a job on this other black guy that's coming down the street facing me right now? How can I destroy him or her or do something harmful or say something harmful? I got all kind of derogatory names. That's black people right among ourselves. So we shouldn't even expect anybody to think anything about us that is of constructive value. If some so-called Asian person don't speak to us and all like that, speak to us for what? What are they going to get out of it? Probably get chased down the street if we join up with them and they join up with us. They see that they'll get a straight dose of what we give each other. Let's be honest about that. How do we treat each other? Not to say anything about how other people treat us. And it's all because of whom? It's like today's headlines. It's the white supremacists. Who's in today's headlines right now? And I'm going to put this in here because ain't nobody mentioned it.
Go ahead.
And that is Mr. Bill Cosby. All right? Now, both black people and white people are saying, And really, in a way of speaking on the surface, you can say that. But what you should look at is the whole background, the whole history of black people within the context of the system of white supremacy. And when you think of Mr. Bill Cosby, you say, hey, because that's what I say. This is just a result of the system of white supremacy. I expect that. I've been expecting it for years, and not only where he's concerned, every other black person out here, okay, when truth is being told, okay, all right, could very easily be in handcuffs. Why? I know who taught us everything
yes.
that we know.
Yes.
Okay? I know where we got all of that, okay? And the white supremacists do, too, even though they are sitting up piously in judgment talking about somebody being deceptive,
Woo.
Somebody committing sexual assault.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they say that Mr. Cosby hid his, and that might be true. I'm not saying he didn't. But what about the people that they build statues to and brag on for sexual assault?
Absolutely.
Like Mr. Thomas Jefferson.
Woo!
All right. Sally Hemings. Sexual assault. Right in your face.
In your face.
And bragging about it.
Mm.
Okay. Captain John Smith. And Mr. Roth. I think his first name is... I don't know whether it's Tom Roth or John Roth.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I get it mixed up. But Captain John Smith, Okay? And who? Pocahontas.
What?
A teenager. Okay? They brag about sexual assault. They don't say that you're accusing me of sexual assault. They brag about it and put it in the history books. Say, that's one of the greatest women, Indian women, that ever lived. Why? Because we seduced her. And then we seduced her whole tribe. All right? And got her father to let Captain John Smith off the hook, in which he proceeded after that to take over everything that belonged to the Indians, including taking Pocahontas to the cleaners.
Mm.
And then laughing after her death. All right? These are our teachers. So when you talk about Mr. Bill Cosby, keep that in mind. See, the white supremacists don't make moves unless it's going to give strength to the system of white supremacy, and that's what's happening now. Black people walking down with their heads hung low in shame about Mr. Cosby. But think about his entire background. If he's guilty, where he gets these kind of ideas of doing, you know, deceptive sexual assaults. Jeffrey Dahmer is the poster boy, really, for the world of the entire system of white supremacy.
But that wasn't mentioned, was it?
All they got to do, just read the history of Mr. Jeffrey Dahmer, all right? And you're looking at the portrait of what white supremacy means in its true essence. It means being deceptive, seductive, and then turning people into something that they didn't start out to be, or helping them to be what they started out to be when they wasn't in a dilemma about what they were or weren't.
Mm-hmm.
All right? The white supremacists have done this all over the world. And then, after that, kill them.
Yes.
After using them. Well, at least you can say to Mr. Cosby, I mean, at least so far, he might have been going into that too. I mean, truth be told, he didn't kill anybody, but the white supremacists raped and then kill.
Yes.
Rape and then kill. Rape and then kill. Rape and then kill. Whole continents of people. Rape. Deceive. Kill.
King Leopold.
And then brag about it in their history books.
Yes.
And force black people, non-white people, to read those history books and repeat the same acts among themselves. And then stand back and laugh at us or shake their heads saying,
yes.
This is shameful. Just look at them.
Yes.
Just look at them. Well, we are your children, white supremacists. We are your illegitimate children, and that's the way you raised us.
Mm. You know, Mr. Fuller, you're absolutely correct, because it wasn't until maybe 10 years ago that I found out about King Leopold II and what they did in the Congo.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Don't nobody know about that.
A story that will never be told.
Never be told. But I heard.
I mean, it's just too much to tell.
Yeah.
There's no way they could have recorded it all.
Yes. But I did hear about the Holocaust, but I never heard about King Leopold II and the horrific things that they did in the Congo. I guess they call it the Belgian Congo. And I wondered, why wasn't we told about that in the history books? But then I had to understand that they are the ones that wrote the narrative.
Oh, sure. They never tell it all.
Never.
I don't care what history book you read about the history of white supremacy.
Right.
I mean, they tell maybe about one-tenth of a percent.
Maybe.
Of what really happened.
Yeah. All righty. TalkTimeRadio.com. We go where you go. Check us out on 94.1 WGRN. Podcasts are available. Just download the TalkTimeRadio.com app to your cell or to your tablet. That's radio the way it should be heard. Now, I need you to stay right there. We're going to talk about donations, which we need you to do, but also, we got a Gmail from Less Confused. Hear what that person has to say All that and more and your phone calls coming up next here on TalkTainmentRadio.com. Radio the way it should be heard.
For the best home fragrance and beauty products, shop Ash Kicken online.
That's A-S-H-K-I-C-K-I-N.
Made with 100% natural quality ingredients and handcrafted with your family in mind, Ash Kicken products are better than those other guys. Ash Kicken candles, incense, body butter, face moisturizer, and hair moisturizer are priced just right, and you can get yours at 10% off with coupon code TALK17. Support this 100% black-owned business and get your home and body smelling and feeling all right.
That's
A-S-H-K-I-C-K-I-N. Shop Ash Kicken online at www.ashkickin.com.
Are you ready for a high school that allows you to work at a place that is right for you? Are you ready to earn a certification in healthcare, business, or manufacturing while achieving your high school diploma? Then you are ready for Life Skills High School, a free public school option for high school students 16 to 21 years old. Learn more about your free high school educational options at lifeskillshs.org or call them at 1-800-888-7992. Life Skills High School, education that fits your life.
Sex Code War by Kahari Inahara, the author of the Essence magazine bestseller Race Code War, is releasing his second book, Sex Code War. Be on the lookout for Sex Code War.
If you or someone you know is abusing drugs and or alcohol and want to stop the abuse, contact APDS at 1409 East Livingston Avenue. Office hours are 9 a.m. to 8 p.m. daily and 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. on Saturdays. APDS is certified by the Ohio Department of Mental Health and Addiction Services and primarily funded through the Adam H. Board. Fees are based on your income and Medicaid is always accepted. For more information, call 614-253-4448.
This is Al Edmondson, owner of A Cut Above the Rest Barbershop. I'm calling on all barbers and beauticians. It's time for us to unite as one. We can serve our communities better together. Join the Ohio Black Barber Beauty Network. For more information, visit www.obbn.org or call 614-427-3226 to get more information. Be the change that you want to see in your community. Join our network.
TalkTainmentRadio.com is proud to present the compensatory concept. It is an effective system for countering the effects of white supremacy. TalkTainmentRadio.com is able to carry the first hour. However, the cost for the second hour is exceeding our limited budget. That is why we ask for your kind assistance in keeping the second hour on the air. If you believe like we do, help us in this struggle for justice. Go to the gold donate button on the TalkTainmentRadio.com web page and hit the gold donate button. That's the gold donate button. And please donate. Help us to keep the second hour of the compensatory concept on the air. Thank you.
Live call-in talk show, dial 1-877-932-9766 and join the conversation here on TalkTainmentRadio.com.
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
Go ahead. Make my day.
Keep your friends close, but your enemies closer.
You got the power.
All right, TalkTainmentRadio.com. We go where you go. Download the TalkTainmentRadio.com app to your cell or to your tablet. That is radio the way it should be heard. My name is Mr. Bobby, and I am the co-host on the compensatory concept. And we are with Mr. Neely Fuller, Jr., and we are speaking of why is the topic today. Why? Why what? Why you want to ask that question? Why you want to know? What does it mean to you? That's what we've been, Mr. Fuller has been sharing and discussing and answering your questions. Now, you can go off topic, and Mr. Fuller, as usual, will answer or respond to that via suggestions, breaking it down for you. Call in. 1-877-932-9766 is the number. Go to the TalkTainmentRadio.com homepage, listen live, and then peek down to that gold donate button and throw a few bucks in there. We need it for this second hour. You can also go to the YouTube channel and type in the word Talktainment, then scroll down and then you see a space where you can type in the word radio and then go down again, put in Talktainment number two, where you can listen live and hear, look at us. You can't see Mr. Fuller, but you can see me. I don't know why you would want to do that, but you can do that. And on both pages, the Talktainment page and also on the YouTube page, hit the like and share button. That really means a lot. Okay, and then you can go to facebook.com/Talktainment, and you can do that. You can also hear the replay of this program, because some people like to hear their self-talk. You can hear the replay at 10 o'clock here on talktainmentradio.com, 10 o'clock p.m. tonight. You can hear that. Okay, we're talking about why, and this question, Mr. Fuller, comes from Less Confused. Says, greetings, Mr. Fuller. I really appreciate you suggesting to the listeners to get the code book and read the code book. I have a request or a suggestion, Mr. Fuller, in addition to you recommending to the listeners to get and read the code book. Can you ask the callers who call in to the live broadcast before they ask their questions or question or make their VGQ statement? Ask, have they personally read the code book? This would take only a second, and then could they proceed with their question and or comment? This would be very helpful for victims of racism to help us better understand where the comprehension deficiencies may be coming from and could help the counter-racist codified questions to reach more victims are actually reading, to see if they're actually reading the book and word guide. My suspicion, Mr. Fuller, is that they are not. Once enough data on that is obtained, then perhaps you can ask if they are comprehending what they have read. Best regards, Less Confused. Mr. Fuller, you care to comment on that?
Well, I'll just say that comes under VGQ. See, I can't tell the listeners what to do, except just make suggestions. You know, I make suggestions about buying the code book and reading it by advertising the code book. But I mean, I can't tell people that before they ask a question that, they must do that.
Yes.
It would be nice if they did. I mean, that would expedite. I mean, probably they wouldn't even have to ask the question because a lot of the questions are answered in the book.
Yes.
All right. But people, you know, sometimes something is going on in the news or something like that, and they tune into this program, and they hear somebody talking about racism. And so it's just my job and my duty to answer whatever questions according to what I have written in the way that I have written the answers to the questions. According to the code. Now, it might be a little more confusing that way and takes up a little more time, but at least the person did call and showing an interest in doing what? Solving problems. Here again, I want to emphasize all of this is about problem solving.
Yes, sir.
We can't lose sight on that. Keeping that in mind more than anything. How best to go about solving a problem of some kind, and the basic problem being the problem of racism, but all of the problems that come from that, anything that helps, anything, any suggestion that anybody makes that helps to solve even the smallest of problems or the biggest of problems or the problems inside of problems inside of problems inside of other problems, then that's what I'm trying to do with the book and my part of this program. Problem solving, that's all it's about, in the most constructive manner, that is.
Yes, sir. Okay. Here's a question. It says this. I'm not even going to attempt to pronounce the name, not even phonetically. But let's do this. Mr. Fuller, everybody has made some critical mistakes with their time and energy that produced a result that had a disproportionately non-constructive effect on their livelihood. What is an example of a mistake you've made in the in your lifetime, and how did you ultimately correct that?
Oh, just about. Here's the way I answer that in a codified manner. I haven't solved the problem of racism. In everything that I have done that didn't help to solve the problem of racism has been a mistake. In every area of activity, my economics, the nine areas, everything that I've done in the field of education, my schooling and all like that, everything I've ever learned that didn't contribute to replacing the system of racism with the system of justice is a mistake by definition. See, mistakes are made within a context.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only context I use. So to the extent that I haven't solved the problem of racism, my entire existence has been a mistake. I'm going to say that again. To the extent that Neely Fuller Jr. has not solved the problem of racism, the biggest problem in history, Neely Fuller has been a failure in every move that he has ever made in economics, education, entertainment, labor, law, politics, religion, sex, and war has been, up to this point, a horrendous mistake. And that's the way I'm putting it. My entire existence has been a mistake up to this point.
So how do you correct
it? I haven't solved the race problem, and that's what I was put here for.
Okay.
That's the way I look at it.
All right.
I haven't solved the race problem, and that's what I was put here for. I wasn't put here for any other reason.
Okay.
I call myself working on it, but I'm not smart enough to have done it.
All right.
And until I get smart enough to do it, I'm a failure, period.
Okay.
That's the only way to look at it, according to what? Counter-racist science, that's what.
All righty. Before we talk about your book, let's take this phone call. Caller, you are now on with Mr. Fuller. You need to cut your radio down because we're hearing some background noise so that you can ask your question. Go ahead, please.
Yes, good morning, Mr. Fuller, Mr. Bob. I want to first, VTQ, thank y'all for what y'all do. Just want to let y'all know that we do appreciate the great effort that you and Mr. Fuller put in week to week, and the whole staff that we don't see behind the scenes. We know it takes money to do what y'all do, and if you have to get rid of the second hour, we're glad to have y'all on for 1 hour because we need to keep the information that y'all got spread to the world going. I want to say that, DJQ, first, and pat y'all. Make sure y'all pat yourselves. I've been watching this show for 3 years. I've noticed vast improvement in the way that the show is conducted from Mr. Fuller, the way that he deals with people, from you, from the show. I've noticed vast improvement, and I've noticed improvements in myself from listening to the show.
Thank you, brother.
So the show is an improvement.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And so my question is, I want to get Mr. Fuller to talk to us about, I've been getting a lot of criticism lately about using the open air method of battling racism and white supremacy, and you know, us as black people, we're always taught that we should come together to get anything accomplished. We have to all of us be in one place, and we know why we think that way. So I want to ask Mr. Fuller just for as briefly as he can. No time is. Can you please go over the open air method of battling white supremacy and racism, and compare it to the four wall method, and why he endorses that method over the four wall method?
Okay, Mr. Fuller.
That's in the text. That's in the. I don't have the page number. I got the book right here before me, but
I was trying to find the page number as well. That's also an improvement to suggest maybe an index can be included because I've been looking for it all morning. I've read the book.
No, it's no index. It's a broad table of context, content in the front of the book. But it's probably there. I'm sure that I put it there because it's in the original.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but, you know, I've been writing so much and talking so much down through the years, so, and plus I'm getting up in age where I don't even remember where I put stuff in my book.
Yes, sir.
All right? So that's just a part of my fault. But in it, a person can just read it, and if they have it, and see, but basically, the open-air method is the compensatory, the United Independent Compensatory Code System concept. What that means by open-air is just what we are doing right now. Just everybody just give their opinion on how to solve the race problem as individuals, you know, saying the things that we should do, the things we shouldn't do. That's all it is, things we should do, things we shouldn't do.
Mm-hmm.
That's all anything
okay.
is. And getting things done in a constructive manner. And doing it, what I call by open air, nobody telling you what to say and do. You're not, but the four wall system is you have a leader that tells you what to say and do. Neely Fuller Jr., even with his book and his programs and all like that, is nobody's leader. I always tell people, don't set Neely Fuller up as somebody's leader. I couldn't lead a horse to water. I can't even lead myself. I'm not qualified to be anybody's leader. Why? I'm a prisoner of war. You don't have a prisoner of war that can lead anybody. I'm captured, okay? And I recognize that. All of the leaders of black people, according to what I have written, are white supremacists. Why? That's what white supremacy means. Leadership. They tell me what to do. How can I be somebody's leader when they are telling me what to do? All right? As a prisoner of war. And I'm going along with what they tell me in order to survive in their prison. I'm in their prison. I was born in their prison. So I'm just writing. Those are therefore the organizational, which is called the four wall system. In other words, I call it, it's a cliche term meaning you got four walls and you try to cram as many black people in those four walls
mm-hmm.
as you possibly can. Standing room only. All right?
Yes.
I've been in that kind of setting. And it gives you the sense of power when there's really no power there at all.
Yes.
That's just a whole bunch of black people that's herded in four walls.
Mm-hmm.
All right?
Yeah.
But we get the illusion of power.
The illusion of power. Wow.
Yes. See, that was true even on the slave ships. I mean, a lot of the slaves on the ship said, oh, I look around, I see nothing but black people. We are all together. I mean, you know, we are organized.
On a slave
no, ship. You are not. You've been herded. It's the difference between being herded and being organized.
Yes.
Okay? No, you. The compensatory concept, the open-air concept is, you organize the individual person, and the individual person organizes him or herself around what? Around a code.
A code.
A code of what works rather than a code that does not work.
Yes, sir.
Doing and saying things that work. That's all a code is.
Mm-hmm.
And if you get each individual, this is the open air thing, get each individual to do and say all of the things that have a constructive effect, then if you have every individual following that same code and getting that same constructive effect, now you have your world organization, not a little black organization over here on the other side of the tracks
mm-hmm.
in this town, another little fledgling organization up here in downtown, over on this side of town. And black people are always talking about, you know, getting together. That's one of our favorite terms. Black people need to get together. And we think that black people standing in the middle of a park somewhere, I mean, shoulder to shoulder, I mean, with smiles on our faces or frowns on our faces, we think that that is power.
Wow.
That is nothing but a bunch of black people grouped together thinking that they have power.
And let me do this. In the shack, by the track with the room in the back. Caller, before Mr. Fuller speaks about his book, what is your question for Mr. Fuller?
Yes, sir, Mr. Fuller. During the Afghan War, you would have Afghanistan War. You would have the United States would accidentally drop a bomb on a mosque where you have Muslims inside a mosque praying to Allah. So here's the question: why is it that Allah never does anything about the white supremacists, what they do as far as dropping bombs? And then you had white supremacists walk into a Christian church and shoot 9 Christians. So the question altogether is why is it that Allah nor Jesus can do anything about what the white supremacists do as far as killing them?
Mr. Fuller?
Why is it that who does this?
Why is it that Allah, which is the God of the Muslims, or Jesus, the God of black people, they can their gods can never seem to do anything to stop the white supremacists from doing whatever they want to do?
Well, you have to ask people who are Christians and people who are Muslims why that is, because I am not permitted to say anything that sounds like I'm criticizing Christians or Muslims or Jews or Buddhists or Confucianists or Hindus or any of the people, the many hundreds, and some people say thousands of tribal religions on the planet, and I'm only, by the code, authorized, you might say, and qualified, you might say, if it sounds like anything that's a criticism of a religion, I'm only qualified and are authorized to criticize one religion, and that's the religion of white supremacy.
Mm-hmm.
White supremacy is the religion. So now, why the other religions have failed to deal with white supremacy in a way that white supremacy no longer exists, you'll have to ask the people who are members of that religion why this failure. Why? That's a valid question, just like all questions.
Yeah, that's valid.
But I'm not qualified to answer that.
Mm-hmm.
I can only say my religion, which is a compensatory religion, that's described in the textbook, Eclectic Pluralism, it's designed to try to oppose white supremacy, but so far it hasn't guaranteed it.
Okay.
So first you can ask me, Fuller, how come Eclectic Pluralism, that religion that you have, how come it hasn't dealt with white supremacy? Well, I'm trying to deal with it, but so far my religion has failed. It's a failing religion.
Uh-huh.
As long as white supremacy is here, my religion has failed to deal with it, because white supremacy is the strongest religion that the world has ever seen.
Mm.
There's never been a religion as strong as the system of white supremacy.
All righty.
Part of history.
Mm. Who taught you how to hate yourself? Let Malcolm ask the question. Mr. Fuller, this is the 45-minute mark, but obviously we have gone past that. But this is the time that we have allotted for you to speak about your book. So go ahead, Mr. Fuller.
Okay, well, I was speaking on it just now, and you can go and get the book by going to producejustice.com. But what I was talking about just now, four-wallism and open-airism, and all about religion, and all about the religion of white supremacy.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the book is about. I mean, under the seventh area of activity, religion, I talk extensively about the religion of white supremacy being the strongest religion that's proven that their practitioners practice it to the hilt. Everything they say they believe in, that's what you see them doing. And I've seen other people of every other religion cut corners on their religion because they have been forced to.
Yes.
They've been forced to take parts of their religion and put it aside, all right, on account of it's so much pressure on them not to be a Buddhist, not to be a Muslim, not to be a Jew.
Yes, sir.
Not to be a Christian, all right? So, you know, but the white supremacists, they are the only people who say, hey, you pick out any part of our religion that makes us strong, because our religion is about being strong and powerful and kicking non-white people around. Pick out a part of our religion where we don't do that, and you can't find no parts. I mean, they are the only people that I know of who practice their religion all the way. They don't cut corners on nothing.
Nothing.
They don't cut nobody no slack. So they're the most powerful religion that I have ever seen or heard about. All right? And certainly witnessed and experienced, because they definitely trump my religion and seem to trump every religion that I've seen, you know, been introduced to. It seems like people kind of wimp out when it comes to dealing with the religion of white supremacy. I mean, I've been around a lot of people. I was raised up in the Baptist church, you know, and, you know, I've seen people talk about doing good and all like that, but I noticed everybody in my church was black, okay? And then later on, many years later, under the same banner of the same cross and the same religion and the same Messiah, I'm looking at my newspaper, and there are people who say that they are somebody's a white supremacist, walks into a church, and just shoots people who are worshiping.
Who are worshiping.
Mm-hmm. And then walk out and say, yes, I did it. So what? Okay? So I'm saying this religion of white supremacy got a lot of power to it. That's one thing I have witnessed. It's got a lot of power. People might say they don't have no power. I see people hopping out of their way and doing what they say do, even when it goes against their own religion, because the white supremacists come around and say, oh, yes, that was a part of your religion that we authorized a little while ago. But now, particularly when this comes to this thing called molestation and sexual this and changing genders and all like that. We know that your religion said that something about that's something that you don't do. Well, we're saying that's something you better do. And if you don't do it, you're going to be ostracized. You might not be able to, in a few years, to get a job. All right? Because that'll be on your questionnaire. If you don't believe in scatter sexuality, in non-genderization, in absolutely getting rid of the genders among non-white people, I mean, then you cannot work in this place. But getting back to the point, go to producejustice.com, and I say a lot about that in the textbook for victims of racism and in the word guide, which is an addition to it. Producejustice.com.
Okay. ProduceJustice.com. In the remaining moments, here's an email. You guys have mentioned about movies. Mr. Fuller has mentioned about the movies that we should view. How about books? For example, the book that was advertised today, Sex Code Wars. Mr. Fuller, are all these materials relevant to destroying or dismantling the system of racism?
Oh, the Sex Code Wars?
Yeah.
Now, I have glanced through that book. It's written by Mr. Kahari Inaharo.
Yes, sir.
And I say that, hey, I didn't see anything in the book that people should not read and whatnot. So I say that's a book that will probably, it's got illustrations in it, too. It's got pictures in it. My book doesn't have pictures, and pictures are excellent for presenting ideas and whatnot. So I can say that that's a book that I would say that people can look at if they wish to, and maybe should. I have a copy,
okay. All right?
But mm-hmm. I haven't read it because I got so many books. I have to really, you know, I'm embarrassed so much because I got about maybe 70 or 80 books that I've been trying to get around to reading for
Woo!
Years. All right.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't even cracked them open yet.
Mm.
And I got more books coming in.
Wow.
That I know that I will never get to.
Mm.
Why? Because like right now, I would be reading. But what am I doing? I'm on the air. I'm trying to do what little bit I can.
For yes,
that's a little breath that's left in my body.
Mm-hmm.
But that won't be long before I won't have that.
Okay.
I got to tell my audience right now, I'm 88 years old. And so my time ain't long.
Okay.
I'm in the countdown category.
Count it down. Well, speaking about countdown, guess what? We are at the close of this particular hour. So let me say this. Thank you for the pleasure of your time, listeners, and for yours too, Mr. Fuller. TalkTainmentRadio.com, the world's greatest radio, and radio the way it should be heard. Remember, donations, because next week might be our last show. Hopefully it's not on the two-hour broadcast, but hopefully send in those donations. Talk to him at radio.com, radio the way it should be heard. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for calling in, folks.